I'm going to try to stay present to the present moment without judgment and really look into these readings and allow Advent 4 to have its 15 minutes of fame. And I want to focus particularly this morning on this piece that we have from the prophet Isaiah. Just a tiny measure of background, Isaiah is the prophet's prophet, both the most substantial and the most important. The political and pastoral poetry of Isaiah is meant to be an explication of holiness. It's a work that is meant to take the mundane and to show us the sacred that is there inside it. Scholars divide the book into three separate books, even though our Bible has only one Isaiah. The books can be characterized somewhat as representing judgment, comfort, and hope. First, second, third Isaiah, judgment, comfort, and hope. And our portion this morning comes from that first portion, judgment. All that to say, Isaiah is exceedingly important to both the Jewish and the Christian communities, separately and together. Christians are typically looking at Isaiah, as we do in Advent 4, as prophecy in regard to the birth of Jesus, while our Jewish sisters and brothers read commentary on how God guides God's people through challenging times. Now, I should also tell you that that's so grossly reduced that I probably shouldn't have even said it. But I do think we just need a tiny measure of background to understand what we're looking at. So Advent 4 gives us these verses from Isaiah because of the mention of Emmanuel, God with us, God come among us. For centuries, Christians interpret these mentions as prophecy for the coming of Jesus, and we hear them all throughout Advent and all throughout the Christmas season. They're those mentions that read like, a little child shall lead them, or look for the young woman who is with child, who shall bear a son. Those are the kind of things that Christians grab onto from Isaiah. Powerful stuff, an important prophecy that we will hear on Tuesday, but not what I'm going to focus on this morning. Rather, I'd like to turn our attention to these first three verses that we have from our reading, verses 10, 11, and 12. They're curious and they take a little unpacking here too. Historically speaking, there's some alliance building that's happening here in the passage. Israel and Assyria are reaching out to Judah to build a political and military alliance. That's the historical context. I'm far more interested in the human dynamic that's taking place here, though, because I think it gives commentary into our own lives and our own relationships, both with God, but maybe more so with others, but certainly both. And I think it gives us some particular commentary on how we might occupy the season, not the Advent season, but the more general holiday season. Some commentary about how we approach the holidays or how we might live them out. So let's just look at these first three verses. Verses 10 and 11 read, "Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz." So just so we know, Ahaz knows it's God who is speaking to him. "Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, 'Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Make it as deep as Sheol, as high as heaven.'" Pretty great, right? pretty great. Ahaz knows this is God talking to him. That's what we get in verse 10 and 11. The prophet goes on in verse 12, but Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Now that's pretty great. So God says to Ahaz, God is speaking right into Ahaz's ear. Ahaz, I see you're struggling here. Ask me for anything. Ask me for anything you can dream up. Ahaz, I am here for you, amigo. And Ahaz has this curious response, right? Yeah, God, thanks. I'm good. The last thing I want to do is put you out. I'm sure we got this thing. I love that. I'd like to think that if God whispered in my ear, especially during a time of duress, and made this offer, ask me for anything, Jimmy, I'd like to think I would take God up on it, right? But I don't know that I would. I might have those same tendencies that Ahaz has, and I know none of you do. I'm just speaking critically of myself here. But if I were in a jam and God whispered into my ear, hey, Jimmy, I'm here to help. What can I do for you? Honestly and somewhat embarrassingly, I'm not sure that I would take God up on it. I wonder if you would. I think sometimes we have a tendency to get lost in the details of our own experiences or our own struggles. We can miss Emmanuel, God come among us, whispering in our ear, anything, anything, ask me for anything. That's what God whispers. I went back to see what the commentators said of Ahaz, and it's hilarious and it's true. The commentators write, his spurious piety conceals his lack of faith. That's such great commentary. Piety concealing a lack of faith. Those of us who are uber churched run into this problem all the time. It's a real problem. It's a part of our reality. This little exchange forces me to ask myself, well, then what is God up to here? What's the point of all this? God's not just some great fairy godmother in the clouds. We already know that, right? Because things don't always turn out the way we want them to. No blinking three times, no wiggling the end of our noses, no clicking our heels together for everything we ever wanted or everything we ever thought we wanted. It doesn't work that way. Believe me, I have tried it. And I've tried it when the stakes are low and when the stakes are high. It just doesn't work that way. What's God after here? What God wants with Ahaz and what God wants with you and with me is connection, a relationship, a real one, where there is give and take and respect and accountability and love and growth and compassion and loving kindness, not just between God and us, but between us and everybody else. Everybody else. That's what God is trying to start here. A connection. We can hear God. Can I get some interdependence up in this house? As it relates to the holiday, don't hear what I'm not saying. I didn't say you couldn't have the perfect table on Wednesday. I didn't say you shouldn't carefully choose and wrap presents for those you love. I didn't say you shouldn't watch Elf with your kids and your grandkids. What I mean to say, and the point I believe our brother Isaiah is making here, is this. Hey, seriously, everybody, if any of those things, a perfect table, a beautiful bow, the right sweater on your kiddos, the present that is equal to or better than the one that they gave you, if any of those things are getting in the way of connection, your connection to God and your connection to those you love, your connection to the people you pass on the sidewalk, your connection to people in the parking lot, on the chairlift, in the tram line, if any of those things, or any things for that matter, are getting in the way of you connecting to God and to others, then you know, just let them drop. Let them drop. The primary piece before us is this connection. Connection with God and with each other. The primary work of faith isn't piety. It's love. I know. There you go again, Jimmy, with that love stuff. Well, yeah, there I go again, because that's the point of the story. Always, always. The primary work of faith isn't piety. It's love. You already knew all these things. I know I am preaching to myself here, but I need it this time of year. I need to be reminded that it's together that we will accomplish our mission to cover this valley with love, like the snow covers it in the wintertime. Simple, but not easy. Amen.